In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. It took me a while to get my technology together up here. I remember driving home from Yale Divinity School 20 many plus years ago, listening to a local Christian radio station. There was a round table of Christian theologians and Bible scholars deeply engaged in a discussion of how one might calculate the arrival of Jesus' second coming as depicted in today's gospel passage. They were pairing up the passage from Matthew with snippets of Hebrew Bible passages and snippets of New Testament literature to create a timeline of how it would happen, and they were actually debating this. More recently, and some of you may have read some of these, some popular novels known as the Left Behind series have picked up this fascination on how we prepare for the end times and how that will look. Like many American fundamentalists, these novels focus on a day when God's elect will be raptured, a term that, by the way, does not appear in the Bible, that is lifted up to the Lord in their physical bodies while the reprobates are left behind to incur God's wrath. The point is that we must be ready, because this might all take place in our lifetime. Another theological view of the end times, one that I suspect many of us believe, understands the day of judgment not at the end of human history, but at the time of each individual's death. We have all heard stories from folks who have had near-death experiences, describing a sense of approaching God's glorious presence before they were revived back into this early life. At the time we take our last breath, according to this understanding, each of us will stand before God for an accounting of our life and be judged by God. The implicit warning in this view is much the same as the first, however. You never know when you're going to die, so get right with Jesus before it's too late. I've never focused much on Jesus' second coming or the end times myself. One reason is that at my age, the chances that that is actually coming in my lifetime become, statistically speaking, increasingly remote. But more importantly, I don't think that's what Matthew's message this morning is about. And I don't think it's Jesus' message either. It's worth remembering that the Gospel of Matthew was written somewhere around the year 90. People who actually knew or saw Jesus were rapidly disappearing. And those early Christians were beginning to wonder, okay, when is this second coming actually going to happen? Did God not set the alarm clock? Did God maybe forget or change his mind? That aspect of the early Christian faith was being challenged, and Matthew is trying to address it here this morning. This morning's passage from Matthew, like the season of Advent, invites us to consider our Christian existence in these in-between times, the time between Jesus' earthly life and the time of his second coming, whenever that is. It is in some ways an awkward time, an already and not yet time. For me, Matthew's gospel message on this first Sunday of Advent raises the question, where does Jesus want us to place our focus? Living our life in the present or focusing on getting ready for the future? As an Anglican, as an Episcopalian, I approach this question with our typical both and answer. The two don't have to be mutually exclusive. Both are possible. In fact, I think Jesus calls us into both. I've heard it said that Christ comes again and again and again, that God has placed no limit on coming to the world, but is always on the way to us in the here and now. The only thing we are required to do is to notice and respond to that presence in our lives. I think that's a sound message. In this morning's passage, Jesus counsels, "Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Reflecting on this passage, the Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor considers, how do you deal with a piece of advice like that? Well, why not be ready all the time? Not only for the end, but for whatever the moment brings. Every morning when you wake up, decide to live the life God has given you to live right now. Refuse to live yesterday over and over again. Resist the temptation to save your best self for tomorrow. Do not put off living the kind of life you were meant to live. She continues, go ahead and make the decision. Write the letter. Get the help you need. Find someone to love. Give yourself away. Why waste your time making preparations for an end time you cannot predict? Live prepared. Live a caught-up life, not a put-off life, so that wherever you are, standing in a field or grinding at the mill, or just going about the everyday business of life, you are ready for God, for whatever happens next, not afraid, but wide awake, watching for the Lord who never tires of coming into the world. And that is how we understand our Christian life, isn't it? As we reflect on our baptismal covenant, which blessedly we've done on many occasions over the past several months, that is exactly what we covenant to do, to continue the apostles' teaching and fellowship in the breaking of the bread and in the prayers, to persevere in resisting evil, and whenever we fail and fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord, to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as ourselves, striving for justice and peace among all people, respecting the dignity of every human being. That's it. That's what following Jesus involves. And if we do that to the best of our ability, we're always prepared. We don't have to worry about the end times or what specific timeline God may have in mind. This morning, Jesus invites us, as he did the followers of Matthew, not to be concerned with some potentially far-off future event, but to live our lives in the here and now. Jesus lives with us in the here and now when we live by his teachings and follow them. Even Jesus didn't know when he was returning. Why would we put a lot of energy into trying to be smarter than Jesus? As Barbara Brown Taylor concludes her reflection, who knows? Ours may be the generation that finally sees Jesus ride in on the clouds, or we may meet him the same way generations before us have, one by one, as we close our eyes for the last time. Either way, our lives are in God's hands. Either way, God leaves the living of those lives to us. Let us pray. God of glory, we know that you are coming at an unexpected hour. Let us feel your presence among us in the here and now, and make us ready for your reign of peace, whenever that may be. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.